Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of six live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
Life is a highway. And on it, there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Ask me. Ask Eliza anything. It's time to ask. Ask me all your questions. Leave them in the Instagram comment section. Leave them on your Twitter.
This is a special episode, and I don't mean to disparage anyone else that's ever been on this podcast, but this is probably the most important episode we're going to do. No pressure, Peter. With me today is Peter Kareva, and you're like, who's that? Dating expert? Fashion guru? So much better. He is the Institute Director and Pritzker Distinguished Professor in Environment and Sustainability, Institute of the Environment and Sustainability. I definitely read that weird. That's definitely...
I abbreviate it myself. I just call it Institute of Environment. It's good.
You're the head of it at UCLA, yeah. Which is the school that a lot of us applied to, could not get into. Peter Kareva is the director of the Institute of the Environment and Sustainability at UCLA, as well as the Pritzker Distinguished Professor in Environment and Sustainability. Before coming to UCLA, he was the chief scientist and vice president of the Nature Conservancy, where he was responsible for maintaining the quality of over 600 staff engaged in conservation science. That's what you guys want to know about. In 36 countries around the world. He studied political sciences and zoology at Duke for his bachelor's degree. This is a real degree, folks, not like some Bahamian medical degree. And he also has a bachelor's degree in ecology. And this is such an impressive resume. I guess you guys can Google the rest of it. But the point is, his current research concerns the connection between humans and nature and the varied ways people of different cultures value nature, as well as the inequities in access to nature and decent environments. He's very interested in the mix of individual behavior, corporate practices, and government regulations or incentives that will be most successful in conservation. Meaning he's got the answer to all of your environmental questions. And Peter, I have been really into the environment lately. That sounds like such a dumb sentence. And my followers were really into it. And a lot of people have a lot of questions because we're all terrified and we don't know anything.
Well, I don't think you should be quite that terrified. But let's hear them.
Good. All right, we're going to kick it off. Because you're the go-to guy, and hopefully you can shed some light and bring us into the light out of the dark on a lot of the stuff. Because I think some of us feel like there's nothing we can do, and everything we do is useless. Mom Lessie, what would you say is the biggest thing any one person can do for the environment? It seems so overwhelming. Also, favorite environmentally friendly water bottle?
Wow, I don't have a favorite environmentally friendly water bottle, I'm sorry to say.
Like a reusable one? Like a Swell?
I just refill plastic bottles.
There you go. Right?
Cheaper.
It's easier. Cheaper.
If I lose them, no problem.
If you lose it, it goes into the earth, though.
Well, plastic is a problem. We'll get to that in some sort of depth. But, you know, that question, this is going to be annoying. I'm going to sound like an annoying nerd. You know, people always ask, what is the one thing they can do? Or I get this. It's like anybody who speaks on the environment or conservation to the public, you get that question. Mm-hmm. So raise their hand. What should I do? I think it's kind of framed. There's so many things you could do.
Sure.
That I would say find what area or sector. So if you're a businessman, mm-hmm. what could you do? If you're a businessman, give your employees flex time, 4 days a week. That one day you don't commute is going to unclog the roads and save so much emissions. If you're into politics, obviously, advocate for the politicians that are going to do something about it. You know, if you're an artist or in the entertainment, make people aware, but don't make them despair.
Right. Don't be so aggressive about it that they get turned off.
Don't wag your finger at them and scold them in a preachy sort of way.
It's my way.
And so the first thing you do is you sort of say, where am I? And even if you're and it matters how much money you have. You know, if you don't have much money, you can't go out and buy the most sustainable stuff. You just can't afford it.
It's so expensive.
Yeah. So then you have to think about ways of just making what you have last longer. Because just by extending the life of something, just think about that. If you extend the life of something that you normally throw away after 1 year, or you extend it for 2 years, you've just cut your impact in half.
Yeah. Even as small as adding water to soap.
Yep, because soap is way so concentrated, you always overuse it.
You don't need that much.
So it's just, you know, where are you? What kind of job do you have? And then answer it from your position.
You have to do a little bit of research, because even the business thing, I was like, what's a business person going to do? Yeah, giving people that time off, walking more, carpooling more. I know it's dorky, but carpooling more. People say... Chandler Ross, 724, I feel as if cutting down, eliminating plastic usage is so talked about, which is great, but what are other actions we can take to help out the environment in other ways? Because I think this is a big thing. I think the layperson, forget your job, wants to know, and there's so many things that we're doing that are wrong that we don't realize.
Yeah.
Like, what are some other, on a micro level, things we can do?
You know, one of the biggest things that doesn't get talked about a lot is one of the biggest sources of pollution that is... the personal care products.
Okay.
You know, like sunscreen.
Okay.
All the pharmaceuticals that you might take. There'll be another one. Antibiotics that you take. When you dump those things down the toilet or they don't get treated, they're ending up in our ocean and our water. I mean, literally, you have like jittery fish from caffeine.
There's, wow.
And we don't – it used to be thought, you know, when I was growing up, it was all about pesticides on farms. And I think you're still taught that in school, you know, pesticides on farms. We've done a lot to deal with that. And there's a really neat study was done. One of the easiest things you can do to see how screwed up the environment is go sample frogs. Because when frogs get hit with chemicals, toxins – they get deformed legs, and they become hermaphrodites. They are both male and female.
Mm-hmm.
Really easy to see that. You don't have to, you know, do chemical tests. It used to be thought that all the deformed frogs were out in agricultural fields, and there are some. But a couple years ago, somebody did a study and looked at the frequency of deformed frogs in agriculture, in nice forests where there's not many people, and then around urban environments. And it's 20 times higher around urban environments and much lower in agricultural fields.
So what's the point?
So the point there is that our modern day equivalent of pesticides is all the household products and personal products we use and that we dump.
So you're saying if you're done with it, what do you do?
Well, I mean, you can in some places you can take them to you know, like chemical recycle places. But the other thing that you can do is at a city level, first of all, don't waste them. So maybe don't dump them. Take them back to the doctor. I mean, just don't waste. And the second thing is pay attention to your city sewage. A lot of those products can get treated in sewage, your sewage treatment plant. But here in L.A., when it rains, sewage treatment is bypassed because it can't handle it. So that means... Every city should be, New York City, it happens all the time. Every city should be really concerned with what happens when it rains and to make sure that the rainwater is not mixed with your sewage, because if it is, it overwhelms the sewage plant and your sewage gets dumped in the environment.
But I think people want to know at a granular level, you know, like I guess I go to the water plant and I pick it, or let's say we have someone in power, an office that doesn't care, you know? So I think people want to know, like, I'm just a regular person.
Well, you know, so the sad thing is, it's, we don't have that good information. You
right.
said it, I wish I could tell you there was a website you could go to. You'll get conflicting information about almost everything. Everything from being a vegan to eating beef to eating chicken. You can frame it either way. And the biggest thing you could do is use less and waste less with certainty, wasting less is something you could do. Food. How much food do you throw away?
Right.
I mean, we throw away, you know, 40% of the food goes as waste.
And if you have a yard, you can have a compost.
That's right.
I don't have a yard. It's really hard to do. And then you can turn that into fertilizer and you could plant some flowers.
But all the other things that I think people are looking for is, as consumers, which product do I pick? And that's very, very hard to answer.
It's hard to answer because it's almost like when you buy something, you have to ask yourself, what part of the environment do I want to kill today?
Yeah, I mean, and plastic is a good example.
Yeah.
So you might go out and buy biodegradable plastic bikes, mm-hmm. right? That makes good sense.
Yeah.
Because, you probably heard that plastic gets in the ocean and it's killing animals. They choke on them, mm-hmm. it gets in their guts. And therefore, let's get biodegradable plastic.
But
it has much more emissions. Greenhouse gas emissions, mm-hmm. and it ends up in your landfills, and then it releases methane when it decomposes. So if you care about choking birds and marine mammals, yeah, biodegradable plastics. But if your biggest worry is greenhouse gas emissions,
right.
then you wouldn't do biodegradable plastics.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
It happened to me. I didn't think it would, but it happened to me. I had a nasty bout of postpartum depression. Now, there's nothing to be ashamed about in talking about what you're dealing with, and there's nothing to be ashamed about in talking about it with someone. I definitely saw a therapist these last couple weeks because, you know, I spend my time giving advice to others, but I could use a little advice myself. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. I'll tell you what, when you're already stressed or anxious, the last thing you want to do is battle traffic and sit in a waiting room and get your parking validated. I'm sorry, is that just an LA thing? You don't need to add all that. You can just sit in the comfort of your own home or a chair you like outside, and you can talk to someone from BetterHelp. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time. No additional charge, and it doesn't hurt their feelings. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Eliza today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Eliza.
I'm busy, and this time of year gets even busier. I've had my baby, I'm back to work, I'm at meetings, I'm on tour, I'm running around, and I don't always have time to sit down for a meal with my family. Sometimes I get home from set so late and I just need to eat something nutritious and go to bed. And that's why I like Factor's fresh, never frozen meals, because they're dietitian approved and they're ready to eat in just 2 minutes. So no matter how busy I am, and I'm busy, I always have time to get a nutritious, great tasting meal. Factor has over 35 different meals and more than 60 add-ons to choose from every week, so I never get bored. I'm trying to do less meat in general, and they have wonderful vegan and veggie options. I just made a vegan mushroom marsala, and I made an onion risotto. Just because you're eating vegetarian doesn't mean you can't eat deliciously. It had roasted garlic green beans. It was scrumptious. Head to factormeals.com/Eliza50 and use code Eliza50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month. That's code Eliza50 at factormeals.com/Eliza50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month while your subscription is active.
Well, it's finally happening. The weather is finally getting warmer. So it's time to say goodbye to the jackets and cozy sweaters we've been hibernating in all winter. And it's time to say hello,
bonjour,
to shorts and t-shirts. And if you've been wanting to update your wardrobe for the long haul without spending a fortune, Quince is for you. I talk about Quince a lot because I really believe in a sustainable capsule wardrobe. And there's no reason you can't have a sustainable, timeless wardrobe for every season. And Quince has got you covered with premium linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable, silk tops, hello. And the best part is all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Dressing well shouldn't break the bank. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. Look well. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/Eliza for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/Eliza to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/Eliza.
It's funny you bring that up. Rando Journo asked, what are some scams that pretend to be good for the environment but aren't? I've often wondered this, because if you look at the language on something, anything you buy, it'll say whatever it isn't. It doesn't tell you what it is. So it'll be like, just so you know, this chocolate is meat-free. You're like, yeah, it's chocolate. It should be meat-free.
That's like non-GMO.
Right.
Right. There's tons of food products that are labeled non-GMO. Well, there's no such thing as a GMO for that food product. They're not. They haven't done anything.
Right.
Or my favorite is natural.
Okay.
All natural.
It's like, what is that?
Yeah, what is that? So, like, think about, so is, you know, the grapes you buy at the grocery store, are they natural? They don't have any seeds in them. They're way too sweet.
Uh-huh.
They've been so engineered by our breeders that they're nothing like wild grapes. Corn, you get a it says organic family raised corn. You think that's natural? Corn
right.
came from a
Corn's
weed.
Corn's not natural. Yeah.
Yeah, it came from a weed.
But also,
doesn't
like,
look anything like it.
Plutonium's natural.
Right. So that phrase that really bugs me. The all natural phrase.
All natural. I think a lot of times people even like. Because it's, like, eco-friendly, so like we don't test on animals. It's like, but it comes in a plastic thing that you can't, you know, biodegrade. So there's always, like, yeah, if it's – chances are if it's good for you, it's not good for the environment. If it's good for the animals, it's probably bad for you. Like, there's so much language.
Yeah. I wish, you know, I mean, I think most of us have, you know, now we read, like, labels of food and calories, and you can pretty much trust that, you know, calories. But other than that, I for years tried to get some philanthropists to fund an effort because I've done it with students and it's just so hard to do to create exactly what you want. Wouldn't it be nice to be able to go to a web page, put in whatever product it was, and say, what are its impacts?
Mm-hmm.
You can't do that.
You can't do that. They don't want you to know.
I don't know. It takes a lot of work. It takes, not only did they, you could find it out. But it would just take a lot of work, and you'd have to commit to it. But I think that's something society should commit to. It probably do more than anything, because you're right. Everybody wants, you know, pretty much. I don't meet anybody that wants to buy something that poisons the environment. Nobody goes to the store and say, "Ah, this looks great, a poisoned environment."
Right. We all try to and appear to our better angels. We all try to do better.
But
and know. Then I think we get so overwhelmed that you're like, "Fuck it." You know, it's just so—it's so much information, and you always feel like you're fucked, as people have asked.
But you notice the food labels have gotten better on the health side.
On the health side.
So
for you, yeah. Yeah.
And we should have the same push on the environmental side.
Absolutely. And then at the end of the day, you might just not be able to buy something because it's all really bad. Savvy J. Is it possible to undo the damage that we have done to the earth already? With these sustainable measures that are now being put into place— I can't help but think we're putting a Band-Aid on a massive problem that we humans created, and it seems impossible to reverse. Maybe it's just me having an existential crisis and thinking that my non-existent children, grandchildren will be living on a garbage rock.
This is the second question everybody in my business gets when we speak. The first question is, what should I go out and buy?
Yeah.
And then the second question is what you just said, like, aren't we screwed no matter what?
KDK525 and Ace Money 1138 all were like, straight up, are we fucked? Please
right,
help people.
Right.
So
this is, I'll plug, I read your book. I'm going to apply some girl logic to
this. Oh my gosh, world's colliding. I love this.
So I'll get it wrong, right? Probably my interpretation of girl logic. But you got to look at things from many different ways. So would it be, this is going to sound like heresy, but would it be, how would you feel if, yeah, we didn't do so well with greenhouse gas emissions, but and we raced by 2050, 2 degrees warming, but a billion kids who don't have electricity have it, 2 billion who don't have fresh water have it,
mm-hmm.
and a billion that are starving are now nourished. That scenario
mm-hmm.
is not so unrealistic. So would you, and it puts it a little bit in perspective. The planet, it's about us. It's not about the planet. Planet will be fine.
That's what planet will be fine.
It's
we'll
us.
Be dead.
You know, so it really, you know, even though we say the planet's not going to die, the evolution, organisms are responding. Mm-hmm. Organisms grow in the most polluted landscapes. They evolve. So don't say the dying planet, say the dying human. I mean, let's be real. It's about us.
Yeah.
Even though it's about us and we need this type of nature. And so food. I mean, you could say, I think I encounter kids that go to UCLA. Everybody's interested in food systems. You know, like, what do we eat? grass-fed, corn-fed beef.
Talk about this, please.
You know, vegetarian, non-vegetarian, you know, and how bad the food system is, local versus non-local. And it is certainly true that, you know, food has become our diet, not to put it this way, our diet with its excess of sugars and its absence of the real nutrients we need has become probably the biggest health hazard globally. Now, in terms of, because we got rid of a lot of infectious diseases. Mm-hmm. So here we have this food system. We're probably the only species where, you know, we're hunted by our food in the sense that it kills us. Mm-hmm. But that food system, that's an environmental problem because of emissions.
Talk about that. Just to cut in on that so people know we're on the same page. People want to, like, what are greenhouse gas emissions?
Yeah, so greenhouse, and that's good. You have to know that before you can talk about food and emissions. But so there's three main greenhouse gases. I think everybody's heard about carbon dioxide. Mm-hmm. And that's about 82% of the greenhouse gases is carbon dioxide. The second most important one is methane.
Which is released from cow farts.
It's from cow farts and from landfills where your biodegradable plastic bags are decomposing.
Yes. That's what people don't understand. When things go into a landfill, it releases methane, which also warms the earth. Right. Just because it's in a landfill doesn't mean it's dealt with.
And the third one is nitrous oxides. And that comes from fertilizer on farms, from synthetic fertilizers that are spread on
synthetic
farms.
Synthetic fertilizers.
Yeah, they're spread on farms. So there you have, those are the three big greenhouse gases. And when people talk about them, they talk about them in two ways. They try to come up with one number. I'm not going to do that. But one way to think about it, what is their heating potential? The worst heating potential is nitrous oxides, about, you know, 300 times that of CO2. Think of it as a blanket. So it's a 300 times thicker blanket keeping you warm. Then comes methane, which is maybe about a 20 to 100 times more than CO2. And then CO2, which is like the thinnest blanket.
Mm-hmm.
But CO2 stays up there for 100,000 years, right. Maybe 200,000 years. Methane cleans out in about 10 years, and nitrous oxides clean out maybe 100 years. But now, we were so obsessed with CO2 for a long time, and we should be, but because of their greater warming potential, people are paying attention to methane and nitrous oxides, and they're both tied to agriculture. So that's why your food system is as much about your health as it is about global warming.
So then it comes down to, you know, I had a vegan burger the other day, and so
how much did it cost?
A lot. It was on the hotel. They paid for it. I didn't look, but it was a not vegan, but it was a meatless burger. And I was talking to my husband about it, who works with Peter, it's not like he's in a lab, but you guys do some stuff together. And he was like, you know, you don't know what's in that burger. I was like, is it soybeans? He's like, nope. I looked it up. It's like pea protein. Yeah. And he was talking to me. He probably got this from you about how you don't know what it is. You know, you just know you're not eating meat, but the carbon emissions put off by whatever created that burger might actually be worse for the environment.
If they fertilize it.
Who knows?
Yeah. And you know, grass-fed beef, you're not fertilizing those pastures.
Right. You're not?
No. You normally have to fertilize your rangeland.
So I guess the key is to eat better quality meat less often.
That might, you know, and again, it's the, I mean, I happen to be, my favorite food, I don't know if no one knows this, my favorite food is barbecue.
Oh.
So it has been for a long time. And I go all over the world in search of it.
Okay.
And so I'm just not going to give that up.
Okay.
Sorry.
It's okay. You walked here, so it's okay.
Yeah. So, but look at how people – so when people talk about beef, here's what they often tell you. This gets to, like, how complicated it is.
Mm-hmm.
So people will tell you, you know, it took 20 pounds of feed to produce 1 pound of beef.
Mm-hmm.
How inefficient of that is.
Right.
That's true. But even for corn-fed beef – even for corn-fed, not pasture-raised, only 77% of it's corn. Most of the food is – we couldn't eat. Nothing could eat it that the cows are eating.
Mm-hmm.
And you could look at another ratio. We need protein. We absolutely – we have to have protein.
Right.
So a figure you could do is say if you use 1 pound of protein to make new protein, how much new protein do you get? You take 1 pound of protein. That means you're counting everything you feed the beef, but what part of it is actually protein you could eat? Mm-hmm. So you take all that and you say, I give a cow 1 pound of human digestible protein, and guess what? I get out 1.3 pounds of beef. So I've amplified, I've grown protein.
Mm-hmm.
Do it for chicken.
Smaller.
It's under one. You actually lose protein.
Right.
Nobody ever reports that protein to protein conversion. And yet, why do we eat meat? Why do we, you know, we evolved as carnivores. I mean, we evolved as omnivores, but we have our teeth are to eat meat. I mean, look at your canines. A
couple of them, yeah.
and so it's – I'm not saying you shouldn't be a – there's many reasons to be a vegetarian or vegan. A lot of them from – you know, there are a lot of reasons. But don't think that it is automatically great for the environment.
Mm-hmm.
It depends on where you're getting a protein and how it's grown.
And how it's grown. Yeah. And that's tough. You can't always, you know, we always make fun of the person that's like, excuse me, how was this cow raised? Where did it come from? Because you don't want to be an asshole asking those questions, but it really does matter. What kind of farm? Was it sustainably raised? That's a word I always look for, sustainable, organic. But that's not necessarily better.
Even those labels aren't good because there's no, there's actually, you can use those labels and not really be doing the best thing.
Right. Also, like, what did it go to print that label? The ink, the sticky solution that glued it on. Mi vida loquita. Mi vida loquita. Is global warming really a thing, or does the world go in cycles / ages and we're just approaching another one?
Well,
I'll answer that. Global warming is definitely a thing.
Right.
Now you go.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that confusion there is, yes, there have been cycles. You know, ice ages, you're taught that. Yes, there have been climate cycles, but global warming is a thing.
It's happening.
And it's accelerating. That's the thing. I mean, it's going so much faster than we thought even a year ago.
Right.
We've never seen anything like
this. That's what's so scary.
Yes.
And it feels like it won't slow down. It feels like by the time we figure out what we need to do, it'll be too late. I don't know.
Well,
I'm so scared.
No. The wealthy people will be fine.
I'll see you there. I don't think I'm wealthy enough.
You probably are.
I don't know. Wealthy people are always fine, but, you know, for me, I want us all to be fine.
Yes.
Brings me to this. Lefensky says, do our efforts as individuals matter when it comes to helping the environment, or is it only big corporations that can make a difference? In this instant, I'm more talking about plastic waste and less about global warming. One last thing, I love you, Eliza. Oh, my God, me too. I think about, like, oil spills and massive factories and carbon emissions and stuff. I mean, it isn't me buying a plastic candy wrapper and 8 other billion people. It's so many other things that have really tipped the scales.
Well, so – but the way to think about corporations is
– they're people too.
No, I'm not going to say that. I'm not on that Supreme Court justice thing. But no, the way to think about corporations is because they're big, they're like a lever. And if you could get a corporation to do something differently, then you can have a big impact.
Right.
And so how do you get them to do something differently? I mean, it's sort of – three ways. One is shame, and there's nothing wrong with shame.
No, especially online.
You know. Yeah. And I don't know if you remember when Lego came out and they were doing a new Lego thing with Shell gas stations, and I forgot which environmental group. It was Greenpeace went after them. And they shut that production of that Lego down in like 3 days. It was an amazing social media campaign. Shame.
Shame.
Yeah. You know,
I think that's probably the best way.
Well, but the problem is because that worked because it was a very specific thing. To tell a corporation to do more general things that are kind of diffuse, it's hard to find the wound to pick at. So the other thing is investors. You know, a lot of retirement funds really go after corporations that can defend their sustainability record. And the third thing is consumers. Consumers have a lot of power.
And vote with your dollar.
And don't just vote, use a social campaign.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I mean, yes, your choice about what you buy may not do anything. But if you can get online and get a bunch of other people to make that choice, they will change. And you see that.
I think, you know, we always think we're so small, I can't do anything. But think of all the times you've raised money for a cause. You know, you galvanized a couple people to do something. And even if it is as simple, and I've taken this on, as just posting about it, relentlessly putting images out there that are uncomfortable for people to see, it slowly starts to change the perspective. I mean, I started saying, let's not use straws, and I'm so proud of the amount of fans that are like, I never thought of it, and now I don't. Even, like, the littlest thing, just changing people's perspectives. And I do believe the voting with your dollar. Just, you don't have to buy the thing that's there just because it's there. You can go to the next aisle. You can just do without your bottle of water. You're not that thirsty.
And we, you know, in the U.S., we often have this lone ranger kind of figure of a hero. And just for culturally or something, we underappreciate collective action.
Ooh, yeah, that's great.
You know, and, you know, everybody talks about innovation, tech, and all these Silicon Valley folks that are addressing these problems. Collective action is still hugely powerful, and it's not spoken about. Yeah, a movement.
Look at Black Lives Matter. That's a movement.
That's right.
Me too. That's a movement.
Right.
You know, and there's that tipping point when enough people are fed up with something and you do something. Maybe it is picketing a corporation or electing someone, you know, getting together on one issue. Cacto-cardo. Oh, you guys. Cacto-cardo-azevinho. How do we get lawmakers to implement legislation that makes an actual difference? Is there any way the population can influence them towards applying knowledge from scientists and technicians who have the information that should guide policy to deal with the extinction crisis and climate breakdown? My individual actions are a grain of sand. What can I do? P.S. I'm in Europe.
Yes. Well, you know, city and state governments are doing stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, California, Oregon, Washington, I mean, they all have carbon limitation things. A lot of cities have good targets. So when you're really saying that, what you're wailing about is the federal government, which I think everyone wails about as well.
Easy target.
But there's one thing that gets a little bit misrepresented. I think, and I'm not a political analyst, but I make it a habit, because I'm a scientist, I like to talk to people as a way of making observations.
Mm-hmm.
People are not anti-science in general.
Some people are.
Well, I'm saying in general, the public.
No one's listening. No one listening to this is anti-science.
Yeah,
and if you are, just, stop listening.
And
keep listening.
And a lot of – I was just in Atlanta, and I was in a room with like 22 people, and I would say half were Trump supporters.
Mm-hmm.
It was – to figure out how to do something. And every one of them was very worried about the climate and wanted us to do something. And so don't project Trump onto the public. I agree that he has the public support, but they might be supporting him for their own – for some very weird reasons that I hope the Democrats figure out. But don't project his views onto the public. And I think we make that mistake. The public is ready to do something about climate.
Mm-hmm.
The public really is. We do need a leader. We really need a leader to take advantage of that.
Mm-hmm.
But the public's ready. There's not – I don't feel like we have to convince the public.
The public's ready. And you know who a lot of the public are that probably do vote more conservatively? A lot of them are in middle America farmers who are – they're going to be the ones that take the brunt of this, bear the brunt of this because they're the ones that are feeding us from the ground up and they're the ones that – are hit the hardest.
Yeah.
I think farmers really take it on the chin.
Yeah,
so,
when I worked for the Nature Conservancy, we knew that the strongest conservationists were farmers, ranchers, and fishermen because mm-hmm. they're connected to the natural world. And that was true.
Mm-hmm.
It's no secret that fast fashion and the demand for fashion in general is helping to wreck our planet. Well, introducing Nuuly. Nuuly is a subscription clothing rental service. For just $98 a month, you get your choice of any six styles each month, access to thousands of styles from more than 400 brands with inclusive sizing, and they have fast, free shipping and returns and professional cleaning in Nuuly's state-of-the-art laundering facility, plus the option to buy what you love. I gifted Nuuly to a friend whose daughter works in an office where you have to be presentable, and it's trendy. She gets to try out stuff. She always looks fresh at work. She always looks cute, and when she's done with it, which we usually are after wearing something for a while, she can send it right back. Nuuly is a great value at $98 a month for any six styles, but right now you can get $20 off your first month of Nuuly when you sign up with the code ELIZA20. Just go to Nuuly.com. That's Nuuly with two U's and enter the code ELIZA20 and sign up to get $20 off your first month. That's Nuuly.com. Nuuly with two U's with code ELIZA20. Nuuly subscription clothing rental. Change your clothes. When you ask someone what language they took in school, usually it's like with an eye roll. They're like, French. It's like, do you speak French? No, I don't use it. I feel like a lot of us had difficulties learning a language in school. Rosetta Stone is here to change that. It's available on desktop and it can be used as an app on your phone or your tablet. Rosetta Stone are trusted experts for more than 30 years with millions of users and 25 languages offered. Rosetta Stone immerses you in many ways with an intuitive process, and you can pick up any language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Plus, with Rosetta Stone's true accent feature, you'll get feedback on how well you're pronouncing words. That's right, you might even fool some locals into thinking you're one of them. It's like having a personal trainer for your accent. I headed to Mexico City for a little vacation, and I used Rosetta Stone to brush up on my Spanish. Just a few things, few verbs that I knew I had forgotten, and I was better. Mejor. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, Ask Eliza Anything listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/Eliza. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/Eliza today.
Question. Kippo22 says, from your perspective, shifting... not really shifting, but we didn't talk about this before. Does algae have a place in sustainability? I work in the industry, and I hear about using algae for bioplastics that degrade into fish food, carbon sequestration, and alternatives to animal feedstock that lead to less emissions. You are showing off, Kippo22. Am I in an industry bubble where these topics are played up, or are we actually seeing these technologies come to fruition in the U.S.?
So I think algae does have a big role. None of the technology really scales. Yeah, by scale, I mean can be produced massively enough, cheaply enough to really register environmentally.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a really good idea. And I tell you, algae grows fast.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think like when you're growing biomass or, you know, when you're growing stuff on land, a lot of that stuff has to support the corn plant from standing up. And algae is floating. Everything is. So there's a built-in opportunity for algae. In traditional Asian aquaculture, they use algae and things like mussels and fish together for a complete ecosystem. It's incredibly efficient and sustainable. It just doesn't scale. They have to do it in these lagoons. But I would be careful, and there's a lot of cons out there in this. You know, people take advantage of our desire to save the world.
That's the other thing. The people that latch on and they've got a new company. Oh, we make lip balm and it's eco-friendly. And you're like, no, you're just trying to make a bunch of money. I'm scared as a consumer that does have a bleeding heart.
Yes, because they do. I mean, they really do. I'm often asked to look at some new technology and I find out I'm debunking a con. But algae really could work.
Could work. If we all lean into it,
yeah.
Because there's so many things. What if our cars ran on banana peels? What if, and to all galvanize behind one thing to make it become the norm. I think we're slowly starting to see that with less plastic bottles or metal straws. You know, you can't just leave the straw in the garbage that you actually have to use it. Carlos Lurk says, how much of a difference have the new eco-friendly and sustainable technologies done for the current state of the environment? It's a broad question.
Yeah, well...
Come on,
for sure, you know, wind and solar has done a lot. I don't know if you call that an I call that a technology, wind and solar renewable.
I guess we never batteries. Think about it because we can't see it.
Yeah. And the batteries are getting better and better, meaning they're lasting longer and it's going to help a lot.
Can we talk about batteries for a second? A lot of people don't know this. Do not throw your batteries away.
Yes.
What should you do with your batteries?
Well, there are battery recycling centers everywhere.
That's far. Like, what do I do?
That's what you do.
I got to go to the battery recycling. Emily, have you been going to the battery recycling center when I give you bowls of batteries?
Or they're often electronics. I mean, in some places they're specialized for batteries. Some places it's a lot electronics.
What do you do with them?
I have them all in one spot to take to the IKEA center.
That's a place you can do it?
Yeah.
The IKEA has a drop, yeah.
You got to look at it. You can just Google local battery centers.
Or electronics. Sometimes they lump them together. But it's that hard to... It's that stuff that you can't put in a landfill.
Don't put it in the garbage. You don't want that in your landfill.
That's right.
And people don't think about it. You know what always irks me is when you separate your garbage and recycling and people are like, no food. You can't have food in recycling. And I imagine this massive factory with wheels and cogs and an eggshell gets in there and it all comes to a grinding halt.
So luckily,
I'm like, they'll figure it out. But for the, you got to help them out. Do your part. Do not put your batteries in the garbage.
But, you know, you said something there, which is why I think a lot of people, well, time is precious. Mm-hmm. And a lot of things we don't do, we're well-intended. And we're decent.
Road to hell.
But we're so busy. Mm-hmm. And time is so precious. That's why I'm, you know, what's one of the best things you could do? Give the people who work with you time off. I mean, give free up time. You don't have to pay them or free up time.
Or just give people a chance to get to implement these things. We're so busy that it's like, oh, I couldn't recycle that. Oh, I forgot to grab that. All the grab-and-go culture, that's because we're in such a rush. Americans are so – we live to work. Not work to live like some of the other cultures.
Right.
So there's a big connection with you're in such a rush, so you're grabbing plastic food, bottles, things right. like that because you just don't have the time.
And we evolved – you know, we evolved as hunter-gatherers. You know, we hunt down our mammoth or whatever it was, a bison. And most of the time we were without. Mm-hmm. And then when we had, we just consumed like mad because we had to. So it's very hard for us to control
right.
our impulses. True. Because up until, you know, 300 years ago, none of this was easy to get.
Yeah, that's interesting. Now everything's so accessible.
Yeah, I mean, you can go. I mean, shopping is – think of you as a hunter-gatherer. Yeah. There was no such – and that's evolutionarily, that's 99.999% of our evolution is a hunter-gatherer. Mm-hmm. We never encountered a grocery store.
That's a pretty recent invention
right.
in the history of mankind. Yeah.
So, you know, you're walking down the aisle. You can't resist anything. I can, you know.
That's right. The packaging is so easy, pretty.
And it's easy. So, you know, don't beat up on yourself too much. I think an important thing, and we and environmentalists don't do this enough, is, you know, step back and say, you know, we're a species. We've been shaped by evolution. There are some things that's going to be really hard for us to do because of that. And then when you recognize that, if you pause and think about that, then I think you might be able to better come up with a strategy to do it instead of fighting what is pretty ingrained.
I think also just once you have your eyes open to the amount of plastic you're using. I know plastic isn't the only thing. We're going to get to something else in a second. But, like, I follow a couple accounts that I didn't realize, oh, yeah, I shouldn't take a plastic bag for my right. three apples. Right. Oh, I should grab the glass bottle or the cardboard one over the glass one. You know, like little things that you don't realize you could be. Don't use a rubber band for something.
Yeah, we're also a visual species.
Yeah.
And we enviros, as nerds, I mean, we use numbers. Numbers do not compel.
Right, nobody.
But show a picture. I mean, you talk about it. Show a picture of the plastic. Don't say, who knows what 5,000 tons means?
Right. I don't know what 5 pounds of fat looks like, right. but when you show it to me, I'm like, oh my God, it's so much fat.
Yeah.
Yeah. Little tiny things, and you can go on any ecologically woke person's Instagram, and they'll have suggestions for better ways. You bring your own bag to the store, little things. Starting to make changes here. Plastic bags are banned. It's insane when someone – and also people are on such, I think, autoplay. Like they just give you a straw. They just give you a bag. And I look at them in the face, and I say, don't give me that.
Yeah, sometimes they give it to you so fast you can't turn it down too, if you notice that.
You don't realize it. You're like, what did I just do? What have I done? Bar 545 and – who's had two questions in here now, and Erica Lacauge. When are we going to get serious and push for nuclear fusion as the next cheap energy source instead of green energy con jobs? What are your thoughts on nuclear energy? That's a loaded question.
Yeah.
Let's hear it.
You know, I think that nuclear energy, you know, the Society for Conservation Biology had a letter from its leaders. It's pro-nuclear energy. And sometimes environmentalism gets all caught up in symbolism versus reality. California's energy prices go up and we're getting energy from outside the state that's made with coal. Nuclear energy done well has to be part of our energy portfolio for the world. It has to be for a while. She's, you know, whoever wrote that, the bit about, it's not a, you know, renewables aren't a con job. It's just that they're sort of oversold. They are important. They are valuable. It's just that they're still a small percentage, and there's no way of growing them fast enough to deal with the problem, which is, that's why we need nuclear energy.
For now.
But The renewables are not a con job. They're just oversold like so much else.
Okay. A, was that an I, underscore J, underscore F, 2020. Come on with that name. Climate change. What can we expect over the next 5, 10, or 50 years? What are some basic things we can do to extend the life of the planet and help preserve existing wildlife and their habitats? Well, stop killing them. Garbage.
Well, there was a study that was just published maybe it was a week ago that what you can expect is every year, in about 40% of the countries, every year will be a new record for heat.
Oh, yes. I think Alaska just had a record like 90 degrees.
So think about that. You know, you'll get hit with a heat wave this summer and it'll say broke all records. And then next year, it'll break it again and keep going up.
Yeah.
Heat is the most predictable thing from all the climate models because it's very straightforward, whereas rainfall and things like that are more complicated to model. But the predictions about heat have been dead on. And
it's going to get hotter.
And don't underestimate that impact on you. First of all, a lot of people don't have air conditioning.
Yeah. Not in Hollywood. Yeah, everything's pre-war.
Yeah.
Everyone's apartment just doesn't have AC.
And the other thing that people don't – it's not heat during the day. It's heat during the night. That is the problem. Because you can't sleep. And when you can't sleep, you know, all sorts of studies show that kids in poor neighborhoods don't have air conditioning. They suffer at school. You know, they don't get sleep at night.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Being hot in your sleep is the worst.
Right.
Waking up sweaty is the worst. The heat in the night is a great band name.
Yeah.
Or a movie. Cop movie. So then what can we do? Mrs. Kamek says, can you please recommend a trustworthy online source for facts about the state of the environment and what we can do to make a positive impact? There's so much information that contradicts itself. Who to believe?
Well, that's, again, what I was speaking to.
Yeah.
This is a frustration of me, of just about everybody. I feel like at UCLA, I should at least build a registry of, because there won't be one source, but I could give you like 20.
You need like an environmental Snopes.
Yeah,
website.
That's right.
What we need is just somewhere to go for animal questions, pet questions.
Right.
I have a pet question.
And they'll be going to different, you know.
It's a link.
A link, right.
Yeah. This is a very specific one. Bextagrams. Hi, Eliza. This might seem a bit morbid, but I'm curious to know if green burials are a scam or if this is genuinely an environmental impact from traditional burial and or cremation methods practices. That means we should be reconsidering these practices. That's a weird question. Are green burial scams? Is there genuinely an environmental impact from traditional burial?
Well, it's taking up land.
Yeah.
There's no question it's taking up land.
What percentage of land is dead bodies? Quick.
I have no idea. 100. I'm not sure it's a statistic I want to know.
Probably 100%.
All right.
Somebody had a question about cat litter. Snoopligers says, I'm not sure if this is a dumb question or not, but what's an environmentally friendly way of getting rid of solid kitty litter? I'm using a compatible bag in a sealed trash can, and that lasts a week and a half before it gets too full or too stinky. I'm curious to know if there's a better kitty litter out there or a better way of dumping it.
Yeah. Well, the problem with kitty litter, especially along the coast, is it leads to some of your marine mammals getting sick.
They're just taking it on the chin, aren't they?
Yeah. So, you know, if you're inland, it's not a big deal.
Right.
So kitty litter is not a major source of emissions or all that when you consider it. So kitty litter is a problem if you're along the coast.
Yeah, you have to think about where you live.
And then it's probably is really worth paying attention to. I've had cats and dogs my whole life. And my solution is not everybody's solution.
Is that to shame them out of not pooping?
No. I have my own backyard, you know, sort of landfill.
Right. That's your neighbors hate you,
yeah.
By the way.
I cover it up.
Okay. But are you? But does the smell get out?
Nope.
You're like, I can't smell it. Navy wine goddess. Hi, Peter and Eliza. I'm an oceanography and meteorology officer for the Navy. Whoa. And I'm trying to make my future life decisions. I have an oceanography degree. Brag. And I want to continue to impact the environment for the better. I'm getting out of the Navy in the next 3 to 5 years and want to know how I can have a lucrative career and continue my passion for the environment. Any suggestions would be appreciated. I'm planning to apply for my MBA with a focus on sustainability. This is obviously directed at Peter since I definitely, this is not, I'm like, go to film school. But I want to know if there are better ways to get a lucrative career and make an impact. P.S. Eliza, your podcasts are good on duty. Girl Logic is awesome. This is for you, Peter. Tossing that hot one to you. Okay, where should she go work? She got all the good degrees.
Sustainability jobs in the private sector are growing, and you know, a lot of our kids that graduate from UCLA get those jobs. But if you really want to have an impact, you don't want to be the sustainability officer. You want to be in procurement or the person, the designer, is designing the management process. Mm-hmm. And then using the sustainability training, make those better. So sustainability officers, mainly what they often do is they are responsible for producing the company's sustainability report. And it has to be accurate. So it is important because people do read those and make choices about companies.
Yeah.
But if I were really ambitious and wanted to have a decent career, I would find the training that allowed me to go into procurement or manufacturing with that background.
And you're the one in charge. You're the one controlling how attractive the company is. I've got a very granular question for you about markers. Hey, y'all. Pool_Laura3. I teach preschool for 4 to 5 year olds, and we talk about recycling. Do you have any advice as a school for us having more sustainable items around campus? Something other than milk cartons at lunch or plastic utensils? Any good tips on recycling crayons or markers?
Well, I don't use crayons or markers.
True.
So I don't know what to
say. I guess that goes in recycling because it's wax. Crayons are wax and markers are plastic.
Yeah, crayons would be,
Use them down to the nub. You shouldn't be recycling crayons. You should be using them.
Yeah, like pencils down to the nub.
I think every single company should have, and this affects a lot of makeup I buy, I'm like, where do I put the cartridge when I'm done?
Yeah, that's a really smart idea because we all get to that stage with everything. And if that would make a difference.
That would make a difference.
But not you alone, only collectively.
No, just me. what do you think of this company, Loop? Do you know about this?
No.
Oh, I wish that we had a website for it, but it's basically, it's a service that you pick the products you want, like Haagen-Dazs ice cream, but it comes to you in a metal container. You eat it, and then you return it to them. They refill it. They bring it back to you versus buying a pint every time and throwing out.
Right. Well, I mean, that's why I buy my dog food, so.
In a container
that comes back, yeah.
I think one of the biggest things, like, I love the idea of a bulk store, but it's hard to find one. They're not on every store. You know, we all want to do these sustainable things, but it's not accessible. And Amazon's made things so accessible, and it all comes in a package with a plastic. And so it's like you're paying. So on the one hand, I didn't take my car and use gas to drive to the store, but someone, I guess, took their car, but in that had a bunch of packages. So it's this constant weighing out of your own. I don't know.
That's why I said, I know that you want me to answer these questions about what I can do.
And
everybody wants the question, but I still say the problem's too big. So what you could do is do 100 of these shows.
Yeah.
And then consume like hell whatever you want. It's almost what I would say.
That's the thing.
The problem's so big that you have to be part of a big solution.
Yeah.
What that big solution is depends on where you are.
Who is it? Is it Teddy Roosevelt? Do what you can with what you have where you are. Pretty sure. Yeah, you nodding at me. And that's the other thing. My biggest pet peeve is that I post about something, a change that I'm actively implementing. We don't use plastic bags. We don't use paper towels in my house. You know, we use rags. These are little things that I do, and I post about it, and then you get the nihilists that are like, well, you didn't do that perfectly, so I'm not doing anything.
Right.
And I'm like, but that's just so lazy. All you have to do is the one thing. And by the way, I don't have to thank you. There's all these memes online that are like, to the person who doesn't eat meat on Fridays, I thank you. To the person who didn't use a plastic bag, thank you for all. You don't get a pat on the back. I'm not going to get a warm thank you from me for adjusting your behavior. And all the people out there are like, I'm not going to do anything. This is all your fault.
You're a blamer.
I am a big blamer. But don't blame other people that are just trying to do a little bit.
Right.
I really believe a little bit. If enough of us do a little bit, the earth is still going to get really hot.
Right. So you're right. But the trick with collective action, though, and saying enough of us do a little bit, while the enough of you are doing the little bit, don't pick on those who aren't because—
I have to.
I know,
because they're being so mean about it. They're not doing anything. So people aren't doing anything, Peter.
Yeah, but you gotta. Come on, you're smarter. You gotta find a way to get them. But I think you can.
Oh, but not shaming them? I thought we were talking. I thought you said shaming was so good.
Shaming works great for corporations.
I don't pick on them personally.
Nobody knows that. I know you don't.
But in theory, it is that thing where it's like, hey, don't crap on me because I'm trying to make a change, and then sit over there with your big gulp and your plastic tractor. Classic tractor. Ken's Q21. I'm currently getting my PhD. Did I just say PhD? PhD in molecular biology studying African trypanosomes. Trypanosomes.
Right.
Trypanosomes. One thing I'm constantly battling with is how much single-use plastic is being used in the lab. However, I get the safety reasons behind it. Do you have any facts on how much laboratory sciences are contributing to plastic waste? I think about that on movie sets.
That's yeah, I don't have the figures, but, I mean, they do. You're right. I mean, because universities often have people who care about sustainability, and therefore they really object to all the reusable, mm-hmm. I mean, the not reused, the, you know, the one-time
single-use,
use,
yeah.
single-use stuffs in labs. But the way around that is, I mean, you need a chemist or a material scientist to find a new material. You're not going to replace single-use. You have to have the single-use.
Do you think a lot of it has to do with people – remove the idea of a lab for a second, but just in general, I think especially in America, and people get upset when you bring up how much Asia pollutes. You know, you're not allowed to bring up other countries here in a very you hurt my fifis democracy that we're living in. But America deals with its waste, I think, properly. But I think we're such a sue-happy country that a lot of times single use or wastefulness is encouraged so that it's like, we didn't contaminate it, you can't sue us. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, that's certainly true with food waste.
Food waste?
I mean, food waste.
Like, I can't give my food to a homeless person at the end of the day if I work at Chipotle. What if they get sick?
Yeah, I mean, you go to China, and in the evening, you know, like, after all the restaurants close, and even in small villages, there's somebody going with a cart collecting all the food waste. And it either goes to pigs, or it goes to another restaurant, or to families. And every night, you see them going through. Wouldn't happen here because of some sort of health regulation. So
right.
A lot of our waste is kind of twisted.
The amount of places you go to not a fast food place like a Burger King, but, you know, any like mid-level, like nicer than a Chipotle. And, oh God, it's a salad making place. I'm not going to say the name. New pair of plastic gloves for every salad.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, the whole point of wearing plastic gloves is so your gross hand doesn't touch my food. Not so other lettuces. I understand if, like, I have celiac disease or allergic to peanuts, but I'm watching them throw out. I left. I didn't order from there. A new pair of plastic
gloves.
That's
a good point. Yeah, now that you're right. I hadn't noticed that, but you're right.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't make sense. I mean, you're using the plastic gloves to keep your germs off the food.
Your germs. It's not cross-contamination. It's all salads and food. If you're really allergic to peanuts, then don't eat there.
Right.
I think we just kind of don't think about it. We're just, I don't know. Packages after package. When you go a movie set or get your makeup done, they will hand you a new mascara wand for every time you put on your mascara, and then you can't dip it back in. They hand you another plastic one rather than just give you the mascara. So you're just throwing out 5-10 of them. I think movies do a lot of that kind of waste. If you're getting your makeup done,
yeah, right.
It's a thing. Yeah. I have a question.
Yeah.
I drive a 2009 Honda Civic Hybrid, and I've heard the argument recently that I should buy a new car, a new hybrid, because the technology on the old one...
It's not so good.
Yeah. Is that true? Do I have to treat myself to a new car? Is that okay? I have to. It's for the environment.
Again, make anything you have last as long as possible.
See? Yeah.
Because the metal, I mean, the energy that goes into producing that is huge.
Yeah.
It's not about, you know, it's not just about the energy you consume running around. Think about the energy built that car.
That hybrid technology has to be decent enough,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm going to keep it.
Yeah, I think that's – and that's such – I don't like that advice because it presumes a certain thing.
What does it presume?
Wealth.
I'm wealthy. Not that wealthy. I could buy a new car. But I also think, you know, you could always make the argument like, well, the car's already made. Like, it's already in existence. I'm like, but if I buy that one, then they have to make one more for someone else who wants it.
Mm-hmm.
I always think about that. People are like, well, these things are already produced. I'm like, but if you buy it – more gets ordered. So you are really pulling something out of nothing somewhere down the manufacturing line. Does that make sense? Don't use XYZ product. And you're like, okay. And someone might say, well, they've already produced it. It's already sitting on the shelf. It's already come into creation. And I say, well, if you buy it, then they know to reorder it, meaning they will go make more.
Oh, right. Yeah. Because you're trying to kill a market. I mean,
yes.
Like, no, you're trying to kill a market.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's no reason for coal. I mean, what a... And
we got to bring those jobs back.
Yeah.
Those coal jobs. There's not that many. That's the other thing.
Yeah, but there are some things that you just want to kill the market.
You want to disrupt that market. Yeah. You really do vote. I mean, you really do have the power of if enough of you stop buying certain things And then those markets, I think, will either evolve or they'll just go away, right? Yep. What uses coal? Like, what still uses coal?
Electricity we get here.
We use it. That all comes from coal?
No, it doesn't all come from coal, but coal is still a major part of the global, you know, electrical, you know, electrical energy.
And what should
we move toward? So you could get, well, that would be solar and wind eventually, but there's battery technology's got to improve. We've got to have a grid for them. So that's why I said nuclear is a good, you know.
A good option.
Yeah.
Rachel McCuskey says, is it realistically helpful for residential homes to have solar panels? If so, how much of a positive impact would it have on the environment if they were more commonly used?
Well, solar panels are a great idea.
Yeah, I don't know. Of course. why don't more people have them?
Because what you can't do as much of is you really you still need to hook up to the grid because mm-hmm. so and what you really want is a grid such that you could sell the energy back to the grid but pay a fee for hooking up to it.
Mm-hmm.
That gets discouraged right now because there is no really fee for just hooking up. There's a fee for the electricity and sort of built-in use. And what you – to build out the grid, the companies have to get some money to build out the grid. And so you should probably have a fee, but you should get money for producing clean energy.
Yeah.
And that system – we'll get to that somehow.
What an incentive.
Yeah.
The grid, so we're all clear. Like, your city is on a grid.
Grid, right, yeah.
Like, when that's why one stoplight doesn't go out. It's like five.
Yeah, and that's why when they say off the grid, it means you're not connected to –
Very matrixy.
Yeah.
Question about other countries versus us. We all have our own ways of dealing with trash, you know, and a lot of times when I talk about trash, I get pushback on my Instagram because people will say, that's a different country that does that. I was just in Malaysia and they were talking about how they just refused X amount of tons of trash coming over because they couldn't handle it anymore. And this is not about shaming or blaming, but who are the countries that are producing this waste that's difficult?
Well, we were shipping our trash over to Asia too, you know, mm-hmm. for their landfills.
Yeah.
So China was accepting a lot of trash from all over the world from landfills, and then they said no more.
Mm-hmm.
And so from Europe and us, and now shipping it other places. So, you know, the countries, I don't know the trash. I know the food waste. We're really bad in food waste, and other countries do much better in that.
Yeah.
I think we're all pretty bad at trash, actually. We manage our landfills better. That's what we do.
We do landfills.
So I think that's the right thing. The reason a lot of the plastic that's in the ocean is from poorly managed landfills.
Where it couldn't break, right.
And so it then gets out. But our landfills are well managed, so stuff doesn't dump in the ocean. It's not well managed for methane necessarily, but it's well managed for ocean pollution.
Killing one part of the environment, but you're okay with the other part. That's what's happening. And, you know, people always blame. They're like, well, that's in another country. That picture, you know, like, those aren't our beaches. But it's all connected.
Yeah. Well, you know, the best thing is CO2.
Mm-hmm.
That's a global thing, right? I mean, if it's a polluted river, what you do here, around here, is good. It kind of drives me nuts that all these my students get so mad when I pick on them for this. You know, every college campus has a zero carbon goal.
Right.
So supposing that you're starting at 100 tons of carbon and that reducing that first ton costs you $1 million. And the second ton costs you $2 million. And the third ton, it costs you $4 million for that extra because mm-hmm. it gets harder and harder. You get the easy stuff first. And then when you're going from – you're just producing one ton of carbon and you just want to get it to zero and that's going to cost you $500 million. That's not an unrealistic curve. I mean, it just gets harder and harder to get to zero. You would be much better off going and investing that money in Indonesia or India and giving and having them go make the easy changes mm-hmm. to reduce emissions. And the money would go much further.
Yes.
But we're so obsessed with being able to brag that we're zero carbon.
Yeah.
And that's not thinking globally.
It doesn't help. Right. You're thinking so locally.
It's really about – I want to make a difference. What's the best use I can put my time or money? Right. Those are the resources that matter, time or money.
Time or money.
And for sure, you should have – I mean, every university should reduce carbon by 50%. Mm-hmm. Just right off the bat, emissions. They can do that.
Or just spend your time arguing about the color of the new Little Mermaid because that's an effective way to say that. Last question. Yes, like the color. Color spelled O-U-R, so you're obviously British or Canadian. What are you both reading right now? Fiction, nonfiction? Thank you. Any good recommendations? I like how they give options in case you don't know what books you're reading. Any good recommendations, Peter? I think I'm more interested to know what you're reading.
Well, I'm a fiction. I'm just about finished with a book called The Immortals, which is excellent.
Mm-hmm. And what's it about?
So The Immortals is about four kids, young in New York City, go to a fortune teller. She tells them the exact day they're going to die and gives them advice. And then the book goes from there.
Okay.
And you don't know what day they're going to die. And they don't tell you.
Oh, okay.
The other book I'm reading right now is I'm going to get the title wrong. It's basically What We Eat Now. That might be the right title now, right?
Okay.
It's a book about what we eat now and how kind of bizarre it is. It's where I'm only a third of the way in it, but it's where it really drove home to be the point that the way we're presented with food now is so bizarre compared to the way it has been through most of our history, which explains a lot of our overeating and waste.
I just cracked open that book, Homo Deus, is a brief history of time.
Yeah, I
definitely got it from my husband. And they talk a lot about that, how like disease isn't an issue like it was, and hunting, like all the things that we've come up against throughout our time on this planet, we've eradicated. And now what do you do?
Yeah,
I've only read the first couple pages. I also started a book called Educated, which is a fiction book.
Not quite fiction, really.
Is it based on her? I only started the...
Yeah, it's actually more of a memoir.
I was on vacation with my mom. She's like, you need to get a book. And I was like, I read. So in Bermuda, she made me get a book. And I've only gotten through 4 pages of it. But you asked, and that's what we're reading right now. I love that you already read it and that you corrected me. I'm like, I don't know what it's... It's now time for Top of the Cob.
It's the Top of the Cob. We're doing it right. Every day, you just take a bite, top of the cob.
Peter, I'm interested to know what your top of the cob is, more than any other guest ever.
Oh, gee. Well, I mean, I thought, so I got something this morning. I'm really committed to this climate change thing, and so we've been on a project. We teach in Title I schools all around L.A. to create short videos that make sharp, concise points that will stick with them, like 3-minute videos. And we just got our first one from the person we contracted this morning, and it was terrific.
Yeah, what was it about?
It was called Climate Acceleration. Mm-hmm. And the visuals were wonderful. It just made a few simple points. It'll help the kids pass their science exams when they get out of school. And, sometimes when you ask people to do work and you've had this vision in mind of how it's going to turn out, it actually turns out, normally it doesn't for me.
Or anyone.
And it was like, I watched it, a few hours ago. I was like, wow, this might work.
It's going to make an impact.
Well, we're going to make 100 of them, but just the fact that we don't know what we're doing, and the fact that it came back so well, that was kind of cool.
My top of the cob is my newfound fascination with the crows that live near my house.
Oh.
I was told recently that if you leave out food for them, they will bring you trinkets. I'm really looking forward to the trinkets they'll bring.
And they're smart as hell.
I've heard they're really smart. I heard they don't forget a face. So I look forward to a life of servitude, making sure to feed these crows. Yeah. But I'm hoping that the trinkets are cool. I can have a little collection. People will come by. They'll pay to see my crow collection. What's your bottom of the cob, Peter? And don't say, littering, because that's obvious.
No, I'm not going to. This is something that reflects. This is, for me, my personal bottom of the cob. I have such a hard time controlling some things and in the summer I can gorge out on a half a gallon of ice cream. So what did I do? I unplugged my refrigerator and freezer so I couldn't possibly buy ice cream and bring it home. So I think I've beaten my urge.
That's insane.
Notice it, but this is...
Professor.
No, but I'm, I understand my evolutionary history. I can't.
Okay.
Can't fight it. So then...
What about your other food?
I have an interesting diet. No, never mind.
Okay.
So I then buy, the littlest container of ice cream you can. I can't remember the brand name, but, you get it. It's like the size. And it was yesterday. I was so looking forward to it. And I opened it. It was one of those ice cream things that had been frozen and refrozen, thawed and refrozen.
Uh-huh.
So it tasted terrible. But I still ate it.
Oh, no.
So it's like... First of all, why am I such an idiot that I have to unplug my refrigerator so I don't gorge on ice cream? And then to make it worse, I then buy the ice cream anyways. And then it'd be the third strike. The ice cream doesn't even taste good, but I can't resist it and I eat it. And I just was like, talk about the consumer. I'm an environmentalist and all that,
yeah.
But talk about the consumer is just sort of looking at themselves and say, what a...
Yeah, so. You're in charge of so many brilliant young minds.
What was
Cut
I
to
doing?
You just crying, eating melted ice cream by an unplugged refrigerator.
Yeah.
You eat like a girl going through a breakup. Like, I've pulled candy out of the trash can because you do all these things to make sure. This reminds me. I had a boy that I was talking to, and I knew he was bad for me. This is forever ago, obviously not recently. And I erased his number from my phone. I was like, that way I can't text him. And then I would go online to my phone bill, find his phone number, so yeah. I could text him.
Yeah. Isn't it interesting what we do?
We try so hard to control our urges.
Yep.
So the moral of the story is...
regulate. I don't know. I don't know.
It's so true. Mine is less deep than that. Mine is... just my bottom of the cup is when you get your sleep thrown off. My dad got in really late last week, so he was in like 1 a.m. I've been going to bed at like 9 because the sun comes in my window with sunrise. So I'm up at sunrise like an animal. And he came in, I was up at like till 2 a.m. waiting for him. And that was last Wednesday, and today is Monday, and like I'm still just wrecked because I've been like a couple hours behind, but still having to do my gigs and go to dinners and things like that. So
that's tough.
Curses, dad! Yeah, that when your sleep gets off and you can't catch up. Because what am I going to do, go home now and take a nap so that at 7 I'm awake? I'm screwed. My circadian rhythm is off. That's it. That's how we're going to end this interview with a brilliant man. Peter, where can people find you?
You can go, just go UCLA Institute of Environment and you'll find me.
His bio, which I could also read again.
Yeah.
You've published studies. People can... look you up. But I think more importantly, we've given people some insight to their ecological queries.
And, you know, I have to say this. That all these questions, I'm sort of remotivated. I'm remotivated to try to make that website.
I think that would be great.
It just takes – I'm going to have to get a bunch of students to help me.
Well, definitely free labor for sure.
Well, they won't be free. But they'll
do it.
Yeah. I mean, I started it actually 3 years ago when I first got here because I recognized the need and they went off and got great jobs, and there was turnover. But it really needs to be done.
I think a biggest part for people is they don't know where to start. And I cobbled together my own education from Instagram posts.
Yeah, and the thing was not to be too ambitious and have one site, but your point of just have a site that has links to the site.
Yeah, maybe you can only do something in one department, and then you can find that out.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's about empowering people to be able to make the right decisions. Yeah. I also think, this is the last thing I'm going to say, the other day I was saying to my husband, I want to do so many environmentally friendly things to the house. And, you know, we have a couple things that we've implemented on our own. I wish there was a consultant that could come over and tell me everything I could do for a fee.
There is.
Who is that person?
I know I'm in San Francisco. I don't know who they are. But there is a business. I
mean, that's what I want.
It's a decent business, and there are a ton you could do for a house.
I'm not even talking about solar panels. I'm talking about little things.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe I'll get some
we should have said that.
Say it.
Well, you're talking about all that diet stuff and those little choices. Fix your house. Mm-hmm. That's enduring. That's not one choice. That lasts for as long as you own it. And then when you move, you know, somebody else moves into it.
Reduce your carbon footprint. Don't have your power on in like the middle of the afternoon. I know it's hot. Reduce it by a few degrees. Don't be the asshole that takes a 2-hour-long shower. Girls, you don't need a bath. I take a bath if I'm really sick or I'm really aching, but like self-care, come on.
A bath is a treat.
A bath is a treat. You shouldn't take one every day, you big hog. Bonus snippet. I was just saying to Peter, you know, so many of the questions from these fans are questions that I would ask, and a lot of them revolve around plastic because we all have the same questions because we're all so in the dark. And so I did my best to sort of comb through these so I wasn't asking you the same question in different forms about plastic. And you said...
And I said, you know, plastic's a deal, but the biggest problem in the ocean for pollution is human sewage. Human sewage being dumped raw into the ocean. That is the biggest problem facing fish, coral reefs, our own health. But you don't see it. When Los Angeles dumps it out, you don't see it, but you see the plastic.
Where do they dump it?
It's when you get the heavy rainstorms and the sewage gets mixed with the rainwater.
Oh, you were talking about that earlier.
Yeah.
Those are your turds killing everything, folks.
Yeah.
So eat less, have less turds.
Yeah. And countries all around the world. I mean, human sewage. Isn't that pathetic?
It's pathetic. It's disgusting. I was in a hotel recently. I'm not going to say when. And it reeked of human sewage.
In Indonesia?
No. It was in America. Okay. I can't say it. I'll never be invited back. But it's definitely a problem.
Yeah.
And just so you know, so the plastic thing, of course, is terrible. But
don't forget the human sewage.
Don't forget. That's the name of the episode. Don't forget the human sewage. Peter Kareva from UCLA, thank you for coming and gracing our studio with all of your knowledge and all of your information. Are you on Instagram?
No.
Probably don't want people bothering you on Instagram. Yeah, reduce that carbon footprint. All right, you guys. And there's your education.
Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of six live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
Life is a highway. And on it, there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.